In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. All is vanity and a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What strange words these are to discover in the landscape of the Bible. I mean, wasn't that just an uplifting reading from first one? So we're going to talk about that today. You see, Ecclesiastes is one of the oddest books of the Old Testament. And yet, that's why I find it so fascinating. This may not be the voice that you want to hear. For some, however, this voice speaks for you, perhaps right now. And for others, this voice has spoken for you at a different point in your life. And when you stop and think about it, in many ways, the rest of the Bible and the whole history of faith are engaged in a conversation with this voice. Today's first reading referred to this voice as the teacher. Traditionally, however, he's been called the preacher, so let's go with that. We'll call him the preacher. In the pages of Ecclesiastes, the preacher wrestles with the wisdom tradition of ancient Israel. He examines the sayings of the wise in light of human experience. And what does he find? He finds that, quote, the wise die just like fools, and that God is not only inaccessible but also indifferent. The preacher finds himself in a theological crisis because of the extreme tension between the teachings he has received and everything he has observed. So his examination comes to an unhappy conclusion. All is vanity and a chasing after the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. And that last part is the worst thing of all. You see, the preacher goes on to clarify that what is crooked in the order of the universe and in the world around us has been twisted by God himself. And so that's why they cannot be untwisted. He believes that God won't do it and that we can't. I always imagine him standing in the back corner of the room with his arms crossed and a cynical expression on his face. I recognize him in the faces of people I meet from time to time. Perhaps you do too. These are people who have transferred their membership to the Church of Divine Indifference. And they look at events in the news. I mean, think about this past week. They look at things like the crash of a hot air balloon in Central Texas that killed 16 people and other things like that as proof that God simply doesn't care. They point out that the faithful and those without faith suffer alike in those moments of terror. And so they hardly endorse one of the major themes in the book of Ecclesiastes. Eat, drink, and be merry now. Now, we heard it in Luke's gospel, right? But it appears in Ecclesiastes, and it appears in Babylonian writings, and in Egyptian writings, and in Greek writings. It was a famous saying in the ancient Near East that survived throughout the Greco-Roman world. I mean, lots of people believe in that as a philosophy. Eat, drink, and be merry now. The preacher sees the enjoyment of the present moment as truly a good gift that God has given us. And that's really not a problem. It's just that he's become exceedingly skeptical of any goodness beyond that. It's the only goodness that he sees. The notion that the crooked things around us can't be untwisted doesn't keep someone like Don Draper from trying. You know Don Draper? For those who don't recognize the name, Don Draper is a character on the award-winning AME series Mad Men. Set primarily in 1960s New York, it's about the men and women of Madison Avenue's fictional Sterling Cooper advertising agency, where the preacher's advice to eat, drink, and be merry is taken a little too seriously. Okay? I have to admit, I have to confess something. I was a little jealous when the new rabbi showed up at Congregation Emmanuel on the other side of Rice University, because someone took the Mad Men kind of logo, the kind of title thing of the silhouette of Don Draper leaning back on a couch with a cigarette in his right arm, but they made it into a rabbi leaning back, and you could see the yarmulke, and he had the little pointer that you used to read the Torah that was in his fingers. Well done, Congregation Emmanuel. That was really cool. Well, in this series that lasted for 7 seasons and only ended last year, Don Draper has done what lots of people wish they could do. He's created a new identity for himself, a new life that has no connections to the twisted environment of his childhood. Evidence of Don's past is kept at home in a shoebox, locked away in a drawer in his desk. And as you might have guessed, it doesn't stay locked forever. God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, writes the preacher at the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Don Draper experiences that near the end of the 3rd season of Mad Men. His wife, Betty, discovers the key to that drawer of secrets and confronts him about it. Surprisingly, Don sits down and tells his wife the truth. And here's how one commentator from the Mockingbird blog with an ear for the gospel described what happens next. As Don starts to explain, Betty asks, "What would you do if you were me? Would you love you?" And Don replies, "I was surprised you ever loved me." This is something profound that we never knew before. Don Draper feels unlovable. He goes through it all, the prostitute mother, the stepmother, and finally breaks talking about his brother Adam, who committed suicide after coming to find Don and being turned away. In tears, he says, "He wanted to be part of my life. I couldn't risk all this." What we have here is the transformation of a man by the truth about who he really is coming to light and his wife not giving up on him. We see it in the next morning when he sees the old photos lying where he left them the night before and lets them stay there. When he walks downstairs and kisses his children and puts his hand behind Betty's head and looks in her eyes. When he calls the school teacher and breaks off the affair. When a neighbor asks him during Halloween, "And who are you supposed to be?" Don has the contented and scared look of a man who is no longer hiding. What made this episode so thrilling was that Mad Men, if only for a fleeting moment, got real. We all feel like Don. We all have that one thing or many that makes us unlovable, that if people ever found out about, we'd just die. But what we all long for is for those things to come to light and to not die, to be free from our past, from things we've done and left undone, and still be loved. The preacher of Ecclesiastes desperately needs this, and so do we. To know that love remains in spite of all of our vanity and self-centeredness. As Christians, we believe the voice of Isaiah is louder than the voice of the preacher, and louder than the voice of our own indifferent negativity. And so that's why the Gospel of Luke quotes the words of Isaiah in connection with the coming of the Messiah. "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight." The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. We believe that the hidden God has revealed himself, that he has spoken through the prophets, and that he has spoken most clearly in the life of his Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. That's the voice that answers both the preacher and us, calling us by name, knowing the secrets of our hearts, and assuring us that we are still loved. That's the voice that you will hear from week to week here at Palmer in word and sacrament. And it's the voice that we have heard year in and year out from our dear friend, priest and pastor, Father Dub Brooks, who together with his colleagues and together with all of you has helped to make this a community of faith that believes that God really does care about those who suffer, that God really does care about the tangled messes around us and within us, that God really does care about you, the real you, today. Amen.